Thank you. Just talk about the this place today. Father, we thank you for your mercy that's new every morning. Thank you for your mercy that's falling in this place. Father, thank you for healing and miracles and depression lifting off of people today. Right now, Father God, thank you for fears being removed and pains going away. Father, we thank you for peace just flooding their hearts, minds, and souls this morning, Father. Thank you for drawing us closer to you in your presence. Hallelujah. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it to come into the presence of God. It's like you drop any baggage that you're holding, anything that's holding you back or tying you up or keeping you bound. You just drop it right there in His presence. Everything we need, amen. Everything we need. Thank you, Lord. What a beautiful time of worship. Amen. Well, family, welcome to church this morning. We're so glad you're worshiping with us. Won't you just turn and greet someone and say, so good to be in church with you today. This morning, Pastor Steve preached a good message on commitment last week, so we got to be here, right? No, we want to be here, but I'm so glad to see you in church today. I'd like to have a chance to look around and see you all. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're glad you've joined us today, and sometimes it surprises us. People watch from all over, and we're glad that you've joined us today, but we especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. What we like to do here is just give you a gift bag right where you're sitting. So if you are here for the first time today, we want to welcome you and just ask if you mind just raising your hand that we can hand you a gift bag right where you're sitting. If you're here for the first time, would you just raise your hand for us? God bless you. God bless you. Just keep it up until our ushers see you. Thank you, guys. Looking at ushers in training. Just keep it up until they see you on this side, too. Thank you so much. There is a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. Anyone else? Just keep your hand up till they see you. There's a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it there hoping it'll be a blessing to you. And there's a white card. If you just take a moment and fill it out, at the end of the service we pass an offering bag by. Just drop that white card in and it gives the pastor an opportunity to call you and find out how you enjoyed the service. And if you just hang around and say hi to us afterwards, we would appreciate it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Steve.
Thank you, Phil.
You're welcome.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good
to see you.
Good to see you.
Glad it's Sunday.
Yes.
How about you?
Oh,
yes. We love Sundays, right?
Yes.
Why? Because we love to come to the house of God.
Yeah.
We love to honor the Lord. This is the start of your week. Sunday is the first day of the week. Tomorrow's not the first day of the week. Today's the first day of the week. And you're starting out your week by honoring God. The Bible says when you seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be added unto you. When you put God first in your life, let me tell you, things really begin to happen for you. And you being here today is putting the Lord first in your week. Amen? Let me tell you, the most important appointment you have every week is to be in church on Sunday morning. I said the most important appointment you have all week is to be in church on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
You know why? Because that affects the rest of your week.
Yeah.
When you have the way you start your week, it has a great impact on the rest of your week.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
And I have a word from the Lord for you today.
Woo.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not wasting your time by asking you to be here this morning. I have a word from God for you today. I feel sorry for the people who are not here this morning. Because they missed out. on what the Lord wanted to say to them. Amen?
Amen.
Are you ready to receive God's word this morning?
Yes.
Did you bring your Bible to church?
Yes.
You got your Bible?
It's in my heart.
Your Bible's in your heart? That's a new one. Well, I like to bring my Bible with me to church. Amen? You know why? Because you want to make sure what I'm saying is in that book.
That's right. Yeah.
And everything that I tell you today is going to be out of the Word of God. Amen? So can we pray before we get started?
Yes.
I said, are we going to pray, okay?
Yes.
How many people believe in prayer here?
Yes.
Lord, Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We know, Lord, that you are here with us. Because your word says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And we are gathered in your name. So we know we are in your midst. You are in our midst. And not only that, but Lord, we sense your presence. We feel your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I make it known today that I am trusting you. I am not depending on my own self. I'm trusting you to help me, to guide me, to anoint me, to speak through me today. I'm trusting you to carry your word as it is spoken by your anointing to every person's heart and to cause faith to rise up big, to remove all doubt and unbelief, to bring understanding, to remove confusion. I thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today, for strengthening us today, for bringing revelation in our heart today. I thank you for breakthroughs today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you for all that will be said and for all that will be done. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We okay again?
Yes.
You're going to just be quiet. You're going to sit there. Be quiet. Please, okay? Okay. Alrighty. Are you ready?
Yes.
Today I want to speak to you about what's the delay. What's the delay? We all got things we're believing for, right? Anybody believing God for anything? Wave your hand if you're believing for anything. We're believing for maybe a dream to come to pass. We're believing for our health to turn around. We're believing to meet the right person. We've been praying a long time, standing on the promise. Doesn't seem like anything's happening. Maybe you don't see anything happening. Seems like God went on vacation. It's not doing any good. But here's what you can't see. Behind the scenes, God is at work. He not only heard you when you prayed. He took it one step further. He put the miracle into motion. The psalmist said in Psalm 56 verse 9, "The very day I call for help, the tide of the battle turns. The very day I call for help, the tide of the battle turns. My enemies flee. There's one thing I know, because God is for me." Let me tell you, the moment you pray, family, things begin to happen. Just because you don't see anything happening, that doesn't mean the answer is not on the way. And let me tell you, the people who see promises fulfilled, are the people who keep praying. The people who keep believing. The people who keep standing in faith. The people who don't quit. They don't give up. In 1 John 5 in verse 14, the Bible says this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of Him. This is the confidence we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, we know He heard us. And if we know He heard us, the Bible says, then we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. Now, how do you know? Pastor Steve, how do I know what if what I'm asking God for is His will? How do I know? Because it says He hears me if I ask according to His will. So how can I be sure? Well, the will of God is contained in the Word of God. In fact, the Word of God is the will of God. If you read it, it says the last will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. The last will and testament. This is God's will. So, if you have a promise from the Word of God, then you can know that whatever you're asking God for is His will. If you find a promise in the Word of God, then that can let you know that what you're asking God for is His will.
Right.
That's why before you even pray, you should first find the promise, find two or three scriptures that promise you what you're desiring, and then you can pray with confidence, knowing that what you're asking is His will.
Amen.
You don't have to pray, Lord, if it be your will. No, I go to the Word of God, I find the promise, and I see it is His will. But you see, you're going to have thoughts that are going to come to your mind. And they're going to tell you, it's not making any difference to pray. You're wasting your time, getting your hopes up, believing you're going to get well. I mean, you saw the medical report. You're never going to break that addiction. You've had it for so long. Listen, don't believe those thoughts. The moment you pray, the Creator of the universe goes to work.
Amen.
Say, the moment I pray,
the moment I pray,
God goes to work.
God goes to work.
Now, it may not happen on your timetable. It may not happen the way you thought. But God is a faithful God. And what He promised you, He will bring to pass. And you might have been waiting a long time. But down in your spirit, there has got to be a resolve. There has got to be a confidence within you that says, I know my answer is on the way. I know the miracle is in motion. I've asked according to His will. And I know it's just a matter of time before it shows up. You've got to have that confidence on the inside. You see, you can't talk yourself out of it. You can't let delays or detours or disappointments to cause you to give up on what God has put in your heart. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let me tell you, the healing is en route. The promotion is on the way. The breakthrough is on schedule. The right person is headed your way.
That's right.
In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel had been praying and fasting for a long time. He was asking God for help. Day after day. It didn't seem like it was doing any good. Nothing seemed to be changing. But one morning, Daniel was out at a river and he saw a vision. And an angel appeared to him. And this is what the angel said in Daniel chapter 10. In verse 12, the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray." Say the first day.
First day.
Say it again, the first day.
First
day. The first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. And I have come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. For 21 days, the spirit prince, this is a demonic principality, a demonic spirit ruling over Persia. He said he blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, the archangels, came to help me. And I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. So he said, from the day you prayed, the first day you prayed, your prayer was heard. And I was sent, but there was a blockage. There was a demon spirit trying to prevent me from getting to you. Do you see that?
Yeah.
But then after, Daniel kept praying, didn't give up. After 21 days, Michael came. He's the angel of war. And he broke through that blockage and Daniel got his answer. Now notice, the first time Daniel prayed, God heard him. The first time he prayed, God sent the angel with the answer. And like with Daniel, the first time that you prayed, God began to change things in your faith. He began to move out the wrong people. He began to line up the right people. He began to arrange healing, arrange good breaks, arrange favor. Let me tell you, it's right up in front of you. What's the delay? Why is it taking so long? Have you ever wondered that, Pastor Steve? Why is it taking so long? What's the delay? Because here's what you're going to realize. There are forces that are trying to keep you from your healing. They're trying to keep you from your abundance. They're trying to keep you from your freedom. They're trying to keep you from your breakthrough. They're trying to keep you from your miracle. The good news is, the forces that are for you are much greater than the forces that are against you. That's the good news. It took the angel 21 days to get to Daniel. And let me tell you what you're praying about. Maybe it's taking a long time. Maybe you don't see anything improving. You think it's never going to happen. Well, I want you to get ready, because your 21st day is coming. The angel has already been dispatched. God has already sent the healing. He's already sent the vindication. He's already sent the promotion. He's already sent the abundance. He's already sent it, family. Right now, the angel is fighting through the forces of darkness. And every time that you thank God, then it's on the way. Every time you say, Lord, thank you for my healing. Thank you for bringing the right person to me. Thank you for sending the finance that I need. Family, when you stay in faith, you know what's happening? The angel is getting closer. It's just a matter of time before it shows up, family.
Amen.
I spoke with a lady in our church. She really wanted to be here today, but something happened at her work. She takes care of people. What do you call that?
Caregiver.
And something happened. And so she couldn't be here. She texted me this morning, but she gave you permission to tell her story, her testimony. She struggled with alcohol addiction for many years. She's in her 50s now. Her daughter passed away, and it just plunged her into this cycle of alcohol addiction. And she started attending our church. She started listening to our messages about how God wants you to be free, how you were created to live a victorious life. And every day she started praying. She started asking God to help her. And she would make declarations. I'm free. I'm whole. This addiction doesn't control me. But month after month, just praying, believing, declaring the promises, but nothing was getting any better. But it looked like it was helping. And she went to rehab. In fact, she was in rehab a number of times, and that didn't help. And she could have easily thought, well, this is just my lot in life. I mean, I guess I'm always going to be addicted. But let me tell you, from the time you pray until the time the answer comes, it's called the trial of your faith. That's when it's easy to get discouraged. That's when it's easy to give up. That's when it's easy to talk yourself out of it. Oh, well, basically, I tried. I did my best. This is never going to happen. Oh, yeah. I went to Christian family church a few times, but, you know, it didn't really help. No, you've got to keep on praying. You've got to keep on believing. It might not have happened yet, but let me tell you what God has promised you. He's still going to bring it to pass. Your answer is on the way. And that's what this lady did. And then one day, after being addicted to alcohol for years, I mean, she told me from the moment she woke up in the morning, she would drink straight vodka. Until the time she went to sleep, she'd drink straight vodka. If she woke up in the middle of the night, she'd hit the vodka bottle. She was obsessed with it. And she said that one day, after, you know, being addicted for all these years, move on for me, Tasha. She woke up one morning, and all of a sudden, she had no desire for alcohol. It had completely gone. She said, Pastor Steve, I can't explain it. I didn't do anything differently. I didn't try to gradually cut back. Just suddenly, the addiction was broken. Suddenly, she came into her 21st day.
Amen.
See, you might have struggled with an addiction for a long time, but that addiction has a 21st day. And she sent me this text just to let you know how this works. She said, I drank straight vodka from the bottle from the moment I awoke until I passed out at night. If I would awaken in the night, I would drink more. I craved it. I obsessed about it. Vodka was all I thought about every second of every moment I was awake. The rehabs considered me to be a revolving door alcoholic, so to speak. My PET scan of my brain showed something close to wet brain, which is caused by long-term alcohol use. Basically meaning the brain has been pickled. This is permanent damage. And usually a person with wet brain is committed to a state institution for the rest of their lives. My doctors and the counselors at Henley repeatedly told me that I was a miracle. This is because they all had believed that I had wet brain when I first came to Henley and would have to be institutionalized, probably because I had lost the ability to speak when I arrived at Henley. She said, during this time, your whole church was praying for me. God healed me then with my brain because now it's back to up to Mensa level. It's like, that's not my level. My wife says, not that smart. No, listen, she's it's like gifted. She said, that's God. Then after I got things settled with God about her daughter Ashley, Jesus did another miracle, completely healed me of my alcoholism. That's why I get lost in worship. I've got so much to worship God for. Let me tell you, the doctors at a rehab said, you have medicine. Let me tell you, family, God has already set the time to turn it around. And when you come into your 21st day, every force that's held you back will be broken.
Yes.
See, when we've struggled in an area for a long time, it's easy to accept it and to think, well, maybe I'm not supposed to accomplish this dream. I tried, it didn't work out. I mean, I've been single a long time, Pastor Steve. Maybe I'm not supposed to get married. I've had this depression for years. Maybe I'm not supposed to be happy. No, that may have been your past, but that is not your future. Let me tell you, God is about to break stubborn things. Strongholds that look women, you've dealt with them for years. Those forces that have held you back, family, like with Daniel, God sent Michael to assist him. God is going to send reinforcements to loose what belongs to you. Suddenly it's going to turn around. Suddenly that depression is going to break. Suddenly your business is going to take off. Suddenly you're going to see the breakthrough that you've been believing for. What happened? You came into your 21st day. And I want to tell you, it's closer than you think. Say, it's closer than you think. Tell your neighbor, it's closer than you think. You're close to your healing. You're close to meeting the right person. You're close to your breakthrough. Tell your neighbor, you are close to your breakthrough. Don't give up now. Don't give up on what you're believing for. It might be taking a long time. But what you can see is the angel is on the way. Your 21st day could be this week. It could be this month. What if you knew your 21st day was next Friday? What if you knew that? You would, I tell you, you'd quit worrying about it. You'd be rejoicing. You'd be worshiping. You wouldn't be discouraged. You'd be thanking God. Thank you, Lord. The answer is on the way. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your working in my life. Amen. Come on. You've got praise today. David said this. David said in Psalm 5 verse 3, each morning I bring my request to you and I wait expectantly. David didn't just pray. He prayed with expectation. He went through the day looking for God's goodness and believing for favor. Talking like it was going to happen. Not, well, you know, I'm never going to beat this giant. Look how big he is. He's twice my size. I don't have a chance. David had a report of victory. David looked at Goliath and he said, today, this day, I will defeat you. I will feed you to the birds of the air. The battle's not mine. The battle is the Lord's. He expected God's favor. He said in Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Say, surely. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You know what he was saying in effect? I know my 21st day is coming. I know the angel is on the way. I know the forces that are for me are greater than the forces that are against me. Amen? What am I saying? I'm saying it's not enough just to pray. You've got to pray with expectancy. You've got to follow it up with expectancy. You've got to have a knowing that God not only heard you because you prayed according to His will, according to His word, but that He dispatched the angel with the answer. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen in 3 weeks. God has His own timetable, and the 21 days is symbolic. But what it means is there is a set time for God to break through with the answer to your prayer. And let me tell you, no person can stop him. No addiction, no sickness, all the forces of darkness cannot stop what God has ordained for your life. And I believe even right now, as faith is rising, strongholds are being broken, family. Promises are about to spring forth. Dreams are about to come to pass. Addictions and depressions and sicknesses are leaving in the name of Jesus. God is going to make things happen that you couldn't make happen. You're going to know you came into your 21st day. You might say, well, Pastor Steve, you know, this sounds good and it sounds encouraging, but I don't believe it's going to happen for me. I don't believe that just because you said something that anything's going to change. Well, then this isn't for you. This is for believers. This is for people that know God is in control.
Amen.
That He sets the miracle into motion. That He does what He promised. That the angel is on the way. That the 21st day is coming.
Amen.
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 One time I ordered some sunglasses online. I like a deal. I'm always looking for deals. I got them half price, what I would have paid. And when I came to purchase, they said there was a 4 to 6 week delivery time because they were coming from Europe, somewhere in Europe. In a couple of hours, I got an email with a confirmation number so I could track the order. I could go on the company website and I could track the status of my order. The first couple of weeks when I tracked it, it said in production. About a week later, I got another email. It said that they had been shipped. And this time I went online, checked the status, it said in transit. Now, I didn't know where the sunglasses were. I mean, I didn't know when they were going to be delivered. All I knew is they're on the way. I didn't worry about how they'd been shipped, what route they'd chosen. They were coming from somewhere in Europe, put on a plane, New York City, put on a truck down Palm Beach, went to the main post office. The routing didn't concern me. You know why? I knew those sunglasses had got my name on them. I had a confirmation number. It was just a matter of time before they were going to show up. In a couple of days, there was a knock on the door, and there were the sunglasses. Let me tell you, when God puts a promise in your heart, you don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know what route God is going to choose. You don't know the exact time. But what you do know is you have a confirmation number, so to speak. You can find the promise in the Word of God. And God, you said you would restore my health. That's your confirmation number.
Yes.
Jeremiah 30 verse 17. I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds. That's a promise from God. God, you said you'd restore my health and heal me of my wounds. You said you'd supply all my needs. Philippians 4 verse 19, there's my confirmation number. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Pastor Steve, how do you know your provision is on the way? Because I've got the confirmation number. It's in transit. My God will supply all my needs. I may not see it right now, but it is on the way.
Amen.
God, you said my children will be mighty in the land.
Yes.
Psalm 112 verse 2, your children will be mighty in the land. God, you said you'd give me beauty for ashes. Isaiah 61 verse 3, to give them beauty for ashes. Let me tell you, when you let the promise of God take root in your heart, in effect, God puts your name on it. If you could check that promise on your computer, what you would see is in transit, on the way. Now, you don't have to worry about how it's going to be delivered. You don't have to worry about what route God's going to take. You don't have to worry about when it's going to happen. God knows how to get to you what has your name on it. It is headed your way.
Amen.
And no disrespect to FedEx or UPS, but they can make a mistake. God doesn't make any mistakes. His delivery service is 100% accurate and it'll be 100% on time. If you will stay in faith, if you will keep believing, what belongs to you will come to you at the exact right time. Some of you, some of the things that you think are never going to happen, it's been too long, situation looks too bad. If you could check the promise on the heavenly computer, you wouldn't see canceled, disregard, too late. You would see on schedule, on time, in transit, to be delivered. It is not too late. You haven't made too many mistakes. You haven't missed too many opportunities. God put the promise down in your heart. It's got your name on it. And God doesn't change His mind. God's not moved by negative circumstances. Or by how long it's been. Or by who doesn't like you. Family, what has your name on it, God's going to bring it to you. In Psalm 31 in verse 19, it says, "For you have stored up great blessings for those who trust and reverence you." There are blessings stored up with your name on it. And do you know what causes those blessings to be released to you? Is when you have faith in God. Amen? The Message Bible says it like this. What a stack of blessings you have piled up for those who worship you. What a stack of blessings are piled up for those who worship you. In the New Testament, in Ephesians 1 verse 14, it says the Spirit also makes us sure that we will be given what God has stored up for His people. There is healing with your name on it. There's a baby with your name on it. There's a spouse with your name on it. There is a business with your name on it. There is abundance with your name on it. Here's the beauty. We didn't have to pay for it. God sent His Son to pay the price so we could live an abundant, victorious, faith-filled life. Why don't you start believing for what already belongs to you? God has some 21st days for you, family. Not singular, plural. God has blessings stored up for the righteous. I don't want to get to heaven one day and God opens a room and says, Steve, you see all these blessings? They were all stored up for you. You never believed me for them. You never asked me for them. You never trusted me for them. Let me tell you, when you are tempted to give up or be discouraged, to give up on what you're believing for, go get your confirmation number out. Go find the promise of God, family. God, you said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, you said in Ephesians 6 verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So Lord, I thank you that strength is in transit. Thank you that breakthroughs are in transit, Lord. You see, the reason you need your confirmation number, the reason you need the promise, is because, listen to this, God is not obligated to bring to pass what we say, but God is obligated to bring to pass what He says. See, in Jeremiah 1 verse 12, it says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. God says, I'm watching over my word to perform it. I'm not a man that I should lie. If I said it, will I not do it? If I spoke it, will I not make it good? I'm watching over my word. I will perform my word. I will fulfill the promises that I made. If you believe in for a child, when you can say, God, you said, you will make me the happy mother of children. Has God said that? Yes. Psalm 113 verse 9. He gives children to the childless wife so she becomes a happy mother. God's promise that He gives children to the childless wife. When you remind God of what He said, you're going to see some 21 days where God is faithful to His word. He walks over His word to perform it. Do you know that God kept the promise to David? Hundreds of years after David had died. Now God could have thought, listen, he's gone. He's never going to know. Because God had promised David. In Psalm 132, in verse 11, the Lord swore an oath to David with a promise he will never take back. I will place one of your descendants on the throne. And the Living Bible says, for you promised me that my son would sit on the throne and succeed me, and surely you will never go back on a promise. Now, God is so true to what He promised, to what He said, that 300 years after David had died, one of David's relatives was on the throne, but he was not making good decisions. And the Lord said in 1 Kings chapter 11, but for the sake of your father David, I will not do this while you are still alive. I will take the kingdom away from your son. Even so, I will not take the entire kingdom. I will let him be the king of one tribe for the sake of my servant David. What does he mean? Because of the promise I made. Because of the promise I made to David. That's how committed God is to what He promised. Imagine what happens when God hears you praying the promises, declaring the promises, thanking Him for the promise. I can imagine when heaven, that's when heaven comes to attention. That's when God says to Michael, go down there and go break through the forces of darkness and give them what they're praying about. They believe that I'll do what I promised and I'm watching my word to perform it. So go down and bring that promise to pass. Amen.
Amen.
I read about this salesman. His name is Jamie Howard. He sold Kirby vacuum cleaners. Did your mom sell Kirby vacuum cleaners?
Dyson.
Someone I know sold Kirby. He sold Kirby vacuum cleaners. And he would sell them by going door to door. And he came to a house. He knocked on the door. A young man answered. His name was Paul Sucha. The salesman went through his sales pitch. And the young man said to him, "Sir, I don't need a vacuum cleaner. I need a kidney. I'm waiting on a kidney transplant." There were 500 people ahead of him in the line to get a kidney. And the salesman said, "I understand. I'm so sorry to have bothered you." And he turned to leave. But as he was walking away, something said to him, "You need to give that young man a kidney. I sent you to this house for a reason. Not to sell a vacuum, but to give him back his health." Right there standing on the lawn, he called his wife. He asked what she thought about him donating a kidney. This is a true story. She said she was fine. He called his dad. His dad was fine with it. 10 minutes later, he went back to the door, knocked on the door, told the young man, "Let's go see a doctor. I want to give you a kidney." It just so happened he was a perfect match. He donated the kidney. Today, they're both healthy and whole. What am I saying? That young man may not have realized there was a kidney with his name in it. It was already in transit. Let me tell you, God knows what you need and he knows how to get it to you. You don't have to figure out how God's going to do it. The scripture says, lean not on your own understanding. If you try and figure it out, you're just going to get confused. When we lost our building on Center Street in last year in June, I was disappointed. I didn't see how it was going to work out. I thought we were stuck. Because I was thinking one way, in the natural, ordinary, but God was thinking supernatural, extraordinary. What I couldn't see is that God had already lined up a better building with a mortgage that was half of what we were paying on Center Street. God caused a Jewish man named Joe to see me on television with Joel Osteen. And the Lord moved on him to call us and say, I want to help you. I've got a building I want to sell you. You don't need a mortgage. I'm going to finance it myself. And we're ending up in January. We take possession of our new building on Indian Town Street, and it's going to be the building that we had before, and it's going to cost us half of what we were paying before. When I tell people that, they look at me with disbelief. They think I'm just preaching here. Is that really true, or is it just a preacher? That's true. Let me tell you what God brings you. It may not be exactly what you thought. It may not happen the way you thought. But I can tell you firsthand, what God has in store will be bigger, it will be better, it will be more rewarding than what you could have ever imagined. I'm telling you, don't put God in a box. You may not see how it can happen. The medical report may not be good. You may not have the finances. You may not have the connections. But God has ways to do it that you never even thought of, family. David used a slingshot to defeat Goliath. He didn't have the training. He didn't have the experience. He didn't have the equipment. I mean, I would take on Goliath with an AR-15. But a slingshot with the favor of God and faith in God is more powerful than a whole army without it. Yeah. Let me tell you, that young man who needed the kidney, he probably never dreamed that someone would come knocking on his door to sell him a vacuum cleaner and end up donating a kidney to him. If you knew all the things that are in transit for you right now, all the things that not only have your name on them, but they're already on the way, let me tell you, you wouldn't live worried, wondering if it's going to happen. You wouldn't live frustrated because you didn't get the promotion. When it's your time, when you come into your 21st day, family, the promotion will come to you. The kidney will come to you. The building will come to you. Single people, the husband will come to you. The wife will come to you. Quit worrying. They're in transit. They're on schedule. And they're good looking. I just thought I'd throw that in there. But while you're waiting for the promise, while you're waiting on your 21st day, you're going to do your part. Keep praying. Keep thanking God. Keep believing. Keep expecting. Too often we give up on what we're believing for. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus told this story to illustrate how important it is that we keep praying. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to illustrate their need for constant prayer and to show them they must keep praying until the answer comes. Keep praying until the answer comes. There was a city judge, a very godless man who had great contempt for everyone. And a widow of that city came to him frequently to appeal for justice against the man who had harmed her. And the judge ignored her for a while, but eventually she got on his nerves. "I fear neither God nor man," he said, "but this woman's bothering me. I'm going to see that she gets justice, for she's wearing me out with her constant coming." And then the Lord said, if even an evil judge can be worn down like that, don't you think God will surely give justice to his people who plead with him day and night? Yes, he will answer them quickly. But the question is, when I, the Messiah, return, how many will I find who have faith and who are praying? It may take a long time, but keep praying. Keep praying. "Well, Steve, you say 21 days? I've been believing for my child for 21 years to get back on course." Don't stop praying now. God's working on them. He's in transit. Behind the scenes, things are happening that you can't see. Your 21st day is on the way. Amen. I heard about this American Indian tribe. They were known for their rain dances. They had a reputation that any time they danced, it would rain. So when a surrounding community needed water, they would call on this one particular tribe, and without fail, it would rain. And the community leader, he asked the Indian chief, he said, "How come is it that every time you dance, it always rains?" The chief said, "It's very simple. We dance until it rains." We dance until it rains. If you're going to see everything God has in store for you, you're going to pray until it rains. You're going to believe until it rains.
Yeah.
You're going to praise until it rains.
Yeah.
You're going to expect until it rains.
Yeah.
You're going to declare until it rains.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about begging God, "Oh God, please help me. God, please turn this around." No, I'm talking to turn your prayer into praise. "Lord, thank you. You're making a way when I don't see a way. Thank you. You're bringing the right person. Thank you. You're increasing me so I can be a bigger man. Thank you, Lord, for breakthrough. It's on the way." I'm not talking about begging God. I'm talking about reminding God, thanking God, praising God, declaring the promises of God.
Yes.
Do you know that praise in the scripture broke down the walls of Jericho? Do you know praise opened prison doors of their own accord? Amen. You know, years ago, people didn't use credit cards as much as they do today. And when they wanted to purchase something and they couldn't afford it, they put it on layaway. Does anyone remember layaway? They put it on layaway. Thank God for layaway, Tony. You know, if they want to get a dishwasher or maybe a piece of furniture, they put something down. But unlike a credit card, the store would keep it until the item was paid off. And so every week or so, they pay a little bit more, week after week, month after month, until it was paid off. Listen to me. In the same way, prayer is not a one-time payment. "God, I prayed for 2 minutes. I told you what I needed." No, if you're serious about what you're believing for, you've got to pay it down, so to speak. You've got to show God that you're not going to give up. Because, you know, even if it's not happening on your timetable, you're not going to get discouraged because you don't see anything happening. You're going to keep on paying it down. A better way to put it is praising it down. You're going to keep praising it down. See, in Philippians 4, verse number 6, it says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. And don't forget to thank Him for the answer." You see, what do you do while you're waiting for the answer to your prayer? What do you do while you're waiting for the 21st day? You keep thanking God. You keep praising God for the answer. That's demonstrating faith. Faith is what causes God to act. You keep thanking Him that the answer is on the way. Every time you thank God, you're getting closer. Driving to work in the morning. Lord, thank you for restoring my health. You just made a payment. You get to the office. Lord, thank you. You're fighting my battles. Thank you. You're giving me the victory. You just made another payment. At home, you're cooking dinner. Lord, thank you. You're supplying all my needs. Before long, you'll pay it off. That's what Abraham did. He waited for 21 years to have a child that God promised him. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, in verse number 20, he grew strong and he was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. As he praised God, he grew strong in faith. The Bible says in the living translation, it says he praised God for this blessing before it ever happens. You see, how did he wait 24 years? Was he complaining? God, why is it taking so long? No, he kept thanking God. He kept praising God. Thank you, Lord, my baby's on the way. Thank you, Lord, you're faithful to what you've promised. Thank you, Father. He paid it down, and he paid it down. And finally, little Isaac showed up, the promised child. Let me tell you, like Abraham, many of you have done this. You're constantly thanking God. You live with faith and with expectancy. I believe God is saying to you today, you are close to seeing that promise. The angel is about to break through to the answer. And don't stop praising. Don't stop believing. Don't stop thanking. Amen. What God has put in your heart, it's in transit. It's headed your direction. It's just a matter of time before it shows up.
Amen.
But I do suggest that you examine your own heart. Make sure you're not doing anything to cause a delay. Make sure that you have no unforgiveness. Because let me tell you, unforgiveness will stop your faith. The Bible says faith works by love. Faith works by love. And the Bible says that Jesus said if we don't forgive those who wronged us, then we cannot be forgiven by God. And one of the first things I check, if there was a delay, I just check my heart and make sure I've got no unforgiveness toward anyone.
Yeah, that's right.
Hello?
Amen.
And number two, take authority over any demonic force that's trying to delay and hinder the answer.
Yeah.
Do you know you've got authority over demons?
Yeah.
Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 18, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose. In James 4, verse 7, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You've got to resist him. So family, you've got authority. Very often, we don't use our authority. You've got to take authority. I take authority over any demonic spirit that's trying to delay, that's trying to hinder my answer to my prayer. Devil, you loose it in the name of Jesus, and then you thank God, you praise God, you examine your heart. I don't have any unforgiveness. You examine it, Lord, is there anything that I need to break? No, I've got a clear conscience. I just keep on thanking God. I just keep on praising God. Let me tell you, if you'll do this, I believe, like Daniel, you're going to come into your 21st day. You're going to see your healing. You're going to see your promotion. You're going to see your breakthrough. You're going to see your victory. I believe God's going to open doors that nobody can shut. God's going to take you into the fullness of your destiny in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that today? Come on, lift your hands. Give Him praise today. Just tell Him today. Why don't you begin? Just thank God right now for that. What you're believing it for. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, my miracle's on the way. Thank you, Lord. My provision's on the way. Thank you, Lord. My freedom, my healing is in transit, Lord. I thank you, Father, for doing this for me in the name of Jesus. Come on, thank Him right now. Give Him thanks. Give Him praise. Thank God for what you're believing Him for. Lord, thank you for supplying all of my needs. Thank you, Lord, for restoring my health. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you, Lord, that I am free from every addiction. Thank you, Lord, that I have strength. Thank you that I have wisdom. Thank you that I have direction. Thank you for bringing the right person into my life. Thank you for bringing the right partner, the right husband, the right wife. Thank you, Lord, for guiding me. Just thank Him right now. Praise Him. The Lord is listening, family. God is listening to you. Thank Him now. Come on. Give Him thanks. What are you trusting Him for? Thank Him and praise Him in the name of Jesus. Amen. Say this. Say, Lord, I thank you. My 21st day is on the way. Say, Lord, I thank you that the enemy cannot hold back what has my name on it. Those blessings that are stored up for me, I receive them now in the name of Jesus. Every blessing, I receive it. Say, I am blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the country. Everything I put my hand to, it is blessed by God. Blessings are chasing me down. Goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I am surrounded by the favor of God. I am highly favored in the name of Jesus. I am increasing. Promotion is coming my way. Increase is coming my way. Victory is on its way to me. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Thank you. Praise Him. Thank you, Lord. I ain't shutting up. The devil spoke to me enough. Now, devil, listen to me now. I'm not shutting up about it. I'm going to talk about the faithfulness of God. I'm talking about the goodness of God. The Lord made a way where I didn't see a way. What about now, Pastor Steve? You know what? I believe all the money we need for that building, it's on its way. It's in transit. I believe we have every dollar we need. We have all the money that we need to do it out. I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. I'm telling you right now, I'm thanking God. I'm believing God. Every need is met. Amen. I'm believing God for you. I believe in God that everything you believe in God, every promise you're standing on, I'm believing in the name of Jesus for your 21st day. I'm believing for that, for you to receive everything that God has promised you. I'm trusting God for breakthrough for you. I'm trusting God for increase for you. I'm trusting God for healing, for freedom for you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you for a moment just to bow your head if you don't mind. Just to close your eyes, I want to pray for you. And Father, I thank you for every person who's here this morning. Lord, I know that there's no one here that is here by an accident. They're here today hearing this word because you destined for them to be here. And I pray, Father, I pray, Lord, that you will cause your word to just abide within our heart. That as we go out of this place today, that your word continues. We continue to meditate on it. We continue to think about, Lord, that you are faithful. We continue, Lord, to give you thanks and to give you praise for the miracle that is in motion, Lord. You are a faithful God. Listen, while you have your eyes closed, I want to pray also. If there's anyone here this morning and you are not sure where you stand with God, you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord, I want to ask you a question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain? Can you say that you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? You're sure about that? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died today, are you sure where you would spend eternity? And let me tell you the good news is you can be sure about that. You can know that you know. When you leave this life, you can know that heaven is where you'll spend all of eternity. You can know that all is right and all is well between you and God. I want to pray for you this morning. If you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, please pray for me too. Because I want to make sure that all is right and all is well between me and God. Pray for me, Pastor Steve, because I want to go to heaven when I die. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Listen, if you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to pray, I want to ask you quickly right now, just to lift your hand up high. Raise your hand up. Say, here's my hand. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. Thank you. Praise God. I want to ask everyone who lifted your hand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask you to say this prayer with me. In fact, I'm going to ask everyone to please say this prayer together with me. Let's all say this. Say,
Dear God,
I thank you that you love me so much. You sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to take my sins, to take my punishment, to die in my place. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess with my mouth that He is Lord, you said I would be saved. I would be your child. And so I do this today. I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And I confess, Jesus Christ, you are Lord of my life. I surrender my heart, my life to you. From today, I will follow you, Lord. You are Lord of my life. And I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I am now born again. I'm a child of God. God, you are my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home. And my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said, give him a big round of applause this morning. Thank God.
Jealous for my bride. But then I saw another bride sitting down on heaven or down on earth, and she was in like a gray bride dress. And there were things blocking her from believing what's in the Bible. There's an element of unbelief, as you spoke about today, that blocks. And there was a light that came down from heaven and shone on her, and it broke things off of her that looked just like her, but it broke it off so that she could believe and understand that she is seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are there. We're here, but we're there. And when we understand that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, you can take everything that He said today in God's Word and believe. So today there are things on people that need to be broken off because Jesus is jealous for you. He's jealous for you. And He wants to give you everything that He died for. Everything. So when you pray, and we pray today, I believe everything will be broken off because the lion of the tribe of Judah is jealous for you.
So let's pray on that. You know, the Bible says that we are the bride of Christ. You do know that? He's the bridegroom, and we're the bride.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And in Luke chapter 25, Jesus told the story about 10 virgins that were waiting for the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They were all virgins. 5 wise, 5 foolish. The wise ones were the ones who were prepared. They were ready. When the bridegroom came at the midnight hour, I think it was, they were ready. The foolish ones, when the bridegroom came, they were ready. Their lamps went out. They had to go and try and find oil. And then the door was shut. They knocked on the door, and the bridegroom said, I never knew you. And that's what it's telling us, is that there are many Christians today, they're not ready for Jesus' return. They're not prepared. And what Pam was saying is that the vision the Lord showed her is that when you come to church and you hear the word of God and you get in the presence of God, things get broken off of you. Things happen. You change. Do you know that God's word will change you? It will renew your mind. It will change the way you think. It will set you free. So let's pray. Go ahead and pray for each and every person right now, that any hindrance, any blockage, anything holding them back, it'll be broken in the name of Jesus. Go right ahead.
If you feel that you have anything that needs to be broken off, raise your hand. Raise your hand. That should be everywhere, because we all have things. So dear Heavenly Father, we come boldly before your throne of grace. You said that we can come boldly before your throne. We are Nehemiahs, and we're Esthers, and we're Daniels, and there are so many things that you've given to your people that we've put on the shelf. Today we claim back mantles. Today we claim back provision. Today we claim back destiny. Today we claim back everything that you purchased. But right now, Father, you are a consuming fire, and I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to come down and consume every dark thing off of each and every person in this place so that they are free. They are free in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers all unrighteousness, because Jesus, you became sin so we could be the righteousness of God. Today we take our rightful place as being seated with Christ in heavenly places, and as of today we will never be the same. We will walk with boldness, we will walk with destiny, we will walk with clear vision to your destiny for which you have birthed in us before we were born. And we carefully thank you for everything, Lord. We thank you for dreams and visions in the night. We thank you that you instruct the heart at night, Lord. That even tonight you will seal these prayers, that you will instruct the heart at night, and we will awaken even more refreshed than we thought possible, because we love you, our bridegroom. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Now, what comes up for to quickly receive the offering today. We're going to honor the Lord with our giving, with our tithes. The Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of all of your income. That's it. But I want to first of all say thank you once again. I want to say thank you to everyone who supports this church every week. I want to thank you, all of our tithers, all of our faithful givers. I want to thank everyone who has given toward our new building. We've had a number of people that have given. Even this morning, someone gave online, $1,000 online, another state. And I want to just thank everyone who has given, family. And I want you to know, no pressure. Say, no pressure. There's no pressure for you to give. No one gives because they feel pressure to give. People give because they want to give. They give because the Lord's spoken to their heart. But I want you to know that we're trusting the Lord. We still have to pay $50,000 toward the building. And of course, we're saving for all the renovations we're going to do. And it's probably going to cost $150,000 to renovate. I believe we'll have every dime that we need. I believe that God is El Shaddai. He's more than enough. He is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is our provider. I'm looking to God. Do you understand? But you know, God uses people. So the Lord speaks to give. I want to just thank you for being obedient. I want to tell you right now, when you give to the house of God, God will take care of your house. Yeah. When you take care of God's house, how many of you know this is not the house of Steve? Yeah. How many of you know I'm not raising offerings to build a home for me on the water? I'm raising offerings for our new building, for God's house, so that we can fulfill the purpose that He's given for us as a church. Amen. So thank you for giving. I want you to know I'm praying and I'm believing God for you, that the promise of God, that the windows of heaven will be open above you and God would pour blessings out like you never imagined. Amen.
Good. I love what you said last week. Pastor Steve said, you know, many things we've bought over the years and we've put money into that we've regretted. You know, you go and you look through your closet and you're like, that was a waste. Or, you know, cars or whatever it is. But sincerely, whatever we've given to the house of God, I'm so grateful that I did it.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage you in the area of tithing. You know, last week Pastor Steve talked about the area of commitment. And if we want to experience God's blessing in our lives, financially, in our finances, the first thing we should be committed to is to tithe. And like he said, that scripture in Proverbs 3, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first and best part of all your income. Then your barns will be full and your vats will overflow with fresh wine. So first of all, tithing honors God. And second of all, tithing is giving back to God what is already His, right? The tithe belongs to the Lord. It's just returning to Him. It's not like, well, here's a gift for you. No, Lord, this is what is yours. I'm giving it back to you. And the Bible says the results are that our barns will be filled with plenty. That's the result of tithing. And so it actually goes down in Proverbs in verse 16 and it says, it talks about wisdom and the wisdom of obeying the word of God. It says it will give you length of days, riches, and honor. Obeying God has rewards, family. Amen. And I heard someone say this before. They said, God takes the tithe and He reinvests it for you. Now, you know, when you invest something, you expect a return. God reinvests that tithe for us because there are benefits and returns to our tithing and our giving. And the tithing protects the harvest. You've got a farmer who's farming. He wants his harvest to be protected, right? And a successful harvester will always tithe. I'm going to read one more passage, and that's from Malachi. It says, bring one-tenth of your income into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of armies. See if I won't open the windows of heaven for you and flood you with blessings. Then, for your sake, I will stop insects from eating your crops. They will not destroy the produce of your land. The vines in your field will not lose their unripened grapes, says the Lord of armies. So the Lord protects your harvest, right?
Yeah.
What if I've invested into something and it's not producing the way it should? Well, then I should declare my tither's rights. Because we have rights as a tither. The Bible says when I tithe, He promises to protect, to rebuke the devourer, and to flood me with blessings. So I need to, if something's not producing in my life, I need to stand up and declare tithers' blessings over that. Lord, I'm a tither, and your word says that when I do, this is the result that'll happen. My barns will be filled with plenty. My barns are not filled, and I'm a tither. And so we stand on the word. Amen. Something breaks down in your house and it's going to cost you hundreds of dollars. Father, I'm a tither and I thank you that you're for your provision in my life. I thank you that you flood me with blessing. Amen. We don't just sit back and accept just everything that comes your way. It's like, oh, there it goes again. Oh, no, declare your rights as a tither because tithing protects your harvest. Amen. You know, the Bible says there in the King James, it says that a devourer, God will not allow the devourer, and the seed eater, the Hebrew says the seed eater, the destroyer, he won't corrupt, he won't spoil your harvest, but we've got to speak the word over our harvest, amen? We've got to believe God for it. And I had lunch with Anna this week, and it was her birthday, happy birthday, Anna. And so, and she was just sharing with me about, you know, we make this confession, we're going to do it, we say we're believing, because we support God's kingdom, we're believing God for in these different areas. And sometimes people don't understand that, but it's a way of exercising your faith, where you start saying, I am believing God in these areas. So Anna was saying the youngest son was just went off to college last week.
Right.
See the little tears?
Yeah.
has a little tears. But so the youngest son was going to college. So you know, parents, you know what it's like. You've got to start preparing the FAFSA, and it's like this endless paperwork. And of course, they wanted to send him to PBA. So PBA, you know, we sent a couple of our kids there, and you know, it started like in the 20s, and then it goes up. Now it's up to $39,000 a year. I mean, it's extremely expensive. And so they, Anna said, from the moment she starts filling those forms out, she says, "Father, I thank you for grants and scholarships, because I'm a tither. We are givers. We're believing for harvest in our life, and we're believing for grants and scholarships." And constantly, I mean, you didn't say that once, did you, Anna? You probably hounded your whole family. You wrote it down, stuck it on your mirror, right in your fridge, seen your fridge. That's, but seriously, declaring your rights and calling in the harvest. Well, when the bottom line is, when they came down to it, Abel, handsome Abel on the front row, he was the second to last to go into college, and he did extremely well, got all kinds of scholarships, and you are the smartest out of all the kids, right, Abel? Yes. So Micah is not smarter than you. However, Micah got double the amount of scholarships. We don't know how. It was your mom's faith, right? Just your mom's faith. But twice as much scholarships as what they had the last time. So God is faithful.
Instead of
$39,000, they had to pay $2,100 a semester. So $4,200. I mean, that ain't bad, right? But that's believing God. That's room, board, food, the works. And that boy can eat. So my point is, we've got to take God at His word. We don't just drop something in the offering and go like, "I wonder why it's not working for me." No, we've got to use our faith, and we've got to declare that what God says is going to work in my life. Amen? So as you prepare to give, there are envelopes on the seats where you are. Those who are watching online, you can go ahead and give online. There's various ways that you can give. My favorite is a text giving, because it's two quick texts, and I do like to text. So just go ahead and prepare yourself. Just to mention today, the Lunch Club are meeting, which Lunch Club includes, it's a group of people that meet once a month from our church, just a chance for us to get together and have lunch. So today we're going to be down at Bravo. Pastor Steve and I will be there, and with our family. And if anyone else wants to just come and join us and have a bite to eat,
it's
open to everyone, and it'll be great.
Just pay for yourself.
Obviously, just pay for yourself. What, you don't want to pay for everybody?
Jesus took everyone to lunch. Maybe they think I'm going to take everybody to lunch.
Brady, my grandson, is like, "I don't really want to go to eat there today." He's like, "I want to go to the woods." I'm like, "Since when do 3-year-olds get to decide where you want to go?" You want to just pray?
Yes, let's pray. Let's pray. Come on. Hold your envelope in your hand. Hold it in your hand. We're trusting God. Amen. We give with expectancy, don't we? David, put up the confession for me, please. Thanks, Miguel. Praise God. Thank God for Miguel. Give Miguel a big round of applause. God faithful every week. Every week. Say, because I support God's kingdom, by tithing and giving, God has pleasure in my prosperity. Therefore, say, I'm believing God for jobs, better jobs, raises, bonuses, benefits, sales and commission, favorable settlements, estates and inheritance, blessings and increase, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills paid off, interest and income, creative ideas, houses and lands, grants and scholarships. Say, thank you, Lord, for meeting all my needs, all my financial needs, that I have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God. Promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Say, the windows of heaven are open above me. Thank you, Lord, for pouring blessings on me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Is everyone ready to give? If you're ready to give, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not ready, say, "Oh me." While we are receiving the offering, I just want you to watch what's happening. September 17th, Kevin Zadai is going to be with us. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. Excited about it. Play that video, please, and we'll close the service.
Surgery, and he left his body, and there was someone by him. That someone was Jesus.
Well, when I first realized that I was out of my body, I at first was alarmed, so I looked around and I thought, well, I'll tell the doctor. So the surgeon was working on me, and all of a sudden my body started to glow on the table, and I transformed into my resurrection body, and I said to myself, I look beautiful. I heard a man's voice that was not accounted for in the room. He said, well, that's what you look like to me all the time. And I turned around and it was Jesus. He told me that beyond anything else you could do on this earth, it would be the only thing that he would want you to do is yield to the Spirit of God. Every drop of blood, he didn't want any of it wasted. He said, what I went through for you was so you could be victorious. You don't have to go through the things I went through, Kevin. I went through them for you.
Gave Kevin Zadai a message especially for you to prepare the five wise virgins for his return. It is imperative that you hear what Jesus asked Kevin to tell you.
Praise God. Now, I want to really encourage and challenge you. I would like to encourage you to, for every one of us, to invite five people to the Kevin Zadai service. Every one of us to invite five. Say five.
Five.
Say give me five.
Give me five.
Everyone to invite five people. Because I believe if you invite five people, at least one of them will come. I'm inviting Joe Siegel, the man who sold us the building.
Yes.
I'm inviting him and his wife to come to that service. Now, this is going to be great. We're going to love it. We're going to love his story. But how many of you agree that it would be great to see people get saved at that service? Right? How many believe we need to make it a soul-winning service?
Yes.
So that's September 17th, which I think is 3 weeks from now. I want to thank all of our volunteers who served today in the house of God, our worship team and our children's church teachers and our setup team and our media team and our ushers and the photographer and everyone who served. Thank you. We appreciate you. I want to ask also, when we do breakdown, after the service, we pack everything up, we call it breakdown. If you would like to help, I mean, I sure would appreciate that. You know, the more people we have help, the faster it goes. And I sometimes see the same people here week after week, staying here late, packing things up. Can we get a few extra people to help us today to pack up so they can get out of here a little bit early and go to lunch with us? Can we do that? Anybody? Anyone want to volunteer, Pastor Steve? I'll help break down today. Wave at me. Wave at me. Thanks, Kirsty. Thank you. All right, Janice, are you waving at me? Praise God. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. We love you. God bless you, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday.